Well, it's the program that launched 1,000 news articles. The Safe Schools Coalition has been under sustained attack by conservative politicians and pundits for over a week now. Just today, Green Senator for South Australia Robert Sims presented the Parliament with two petitions, totaling over 70,000 signatures to keep the program in place. But at the same time, the Australian put out an article today raging about the supposed links between the program and a sexual health survey conducted by La Trobe University in 2013. It comes as Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has caved into pressure from his backbench to review the program. But while this has all been going on, very little has been said about what students actually face. Victoria Rawlings is an education lecturer at the University of Sydney, who says we need to focus on what the research shows about the types of environments young people deal with at school.
There has been a really missing link about what students are facing at schools. It's first that 10% of students will experience same-sex attraction at school, and 4% of students will be either gender diverse or trans. So for those students, school can be a particularly hostile environment. In terms of what they're facing, 80% of homophobia that they experience or transphobia will occur at school. So it can be an environment where either they feel persecuted or they might feel that they're invisible. As we know, the curriculum has very few LGBTQ identities, and in that way they might feel that there is a lack of a future for them, they can't really see a pathway, and then when they're facing kind of insults or epithets around their identity as well, that might make them feel really isolated and ashamed.
Just putting aside sort of the statistics and what the research say, would you say that this might just be a case of adults forgetting what it's like to go to school and to be in school?
I think that might be an issue, and I think sometimes adults tend to split up what it is to be a student or a child and what it is to be an adult. And a lot of time there's a real disenfranchisement of young people. So young people are actually far more intuitive, far more organised and far more knowledgeable than adults often give them credit for. And for us to kind of infantilise young people and say that they're not able to handle particular types of information is patronising at best, basically. So I think that there can be that aspect of it, and I think we can do better by giving them a little bit more credit.
Seems that one would assume that anyone who has been bullied or has seen bullying from their school days won't be too surprised by some of the stuff that you're writing here about the treatment of girls and boys, even those who aren't identifying as LGBTQ, but those epithets are thrown at them anyway. So do you think that there is a downplaying of sort of the prevalence of these kinds of insults?
Absolutely. I think a common misconception is that homophobia and transphobia only affect people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual or transgender or queer or questioning. That's actually not the case. These moments affect everyone. So there's common moments that happen in school where, you know, for example, I talk about in the article, girls can be called sluts just because they're wearing particular clothes or they're putting their makeup on in a particular way, or maybe they've even done their hair differently that day. Maybe they haven't done any of those things, but they're called that word. And that's a really gender, it's a word that is imbued with power and gender, and it can be really, really damaging to people. Similarly, for boys, to be called any of the semantically linked insults that go with gay can happen in all manner of situations. They don't want to participate in sport that day. They refuse to look at pornography when their friends are looking at it. Or they just might have a different interest. And those things actually harm any kind of student who wants to follow their interests, or they want to take part in something, or they don't want to take part in something, because it casts them in a light that is damaging. It is damaging as well, obviously, for those people who are LGBT, because they hear those things going on. They know that their identity is unsafe, or it's negative in some way, or that's how it's being put across anyway by the people who are saying those kind of things. So it can be a really negative environment for everyone who's hearing those things.
And what about the responses of teachers? You've done some research into how teachers respond to these kinds of situations.
Yeah, I think most of the time teachers want to do the right thing. And it's important to acknowledge that teachers are incredibly overworked, and the system that we've placed them in puts a lot of responsibility onto them to manage these things as well as teaching content. So we can't say that it's always teachers' fault that these things are happening. However, in recognising that, a lot of the time this is the area that teachers don't think is that important. They might hear a student using the word slut or saying that's so gay, and they might even laugh along with that, or they may even use that language themselves. In that way, they're saying to students that these things are okay or they're not important. And often when you compare it with things like racism, they're not approached as strongly. So basically, teachers probably need a little bit more resources. Sometimes they don't know how to react to these things. They're not sure what they should say, what they should do. They don't feel supported by their school community if they do want to intervene. And, you know, the discourses about things like safe schools are probably making teachers more uncomfortable about responding to these things. So there's a wider social and political element to that as well.
Victoria Rawlings, education lecturer at the University of Sydney, speaking there.